Greetings and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. Today, I'm your host, Tisha, for Under the Fig Tree. I'm so excited to be with you today, and I'm by myself. No Troy, no Bruce, just me. And we're going to have a conversation. We're going to have a conversation about something that I feel is important that the Lord shared with me. It started for me just as I was looking at where we were in time, where we were, and all the events that have been happening in for 2025. And I feel like the Lord gave me a strategy for the believer for everyday time. So I'm going to open up in prayer and we're going to get started. Father, have your way today. Let this conversation be a conversation that you and I are having and that other people begin to explore and share in. Father, speak through me. Let every word be of you. Let my heart posture be submitted in worship to you, even as I declare your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, end time strategy that everyone can do. And I want to give it to you. It's rest. The name of this podcast is Rest in End Time Strategy. And why is that so important? It's important because we have to learn how to be able to maneuver in times of great conflict, great distress, and great adversity, yet still remain in the kingdom of God, in the hope of God, and in the purposes of God. So with that being said, you'll see me look to my right, your left, and read, because I have my scriptures up here. I'm not as technically savvy, but we're going to get the word done. All right, so Hebrews 3, verses 8 through 11. We're going to start there. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 really delve into rest. We're going to be a lot there, because I just want to talk about what rest is, what that looks like, and how we apply that to the end time. So Hebrews 3, 8 through 11. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing. In the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So we see here in this, we saw Israelites with the Lord for 40 years. And God is saying, you saw my works. You know my ways, yet in your heart you go astray. And so what is rest? Rest is a putting to rest. I have the Hebrew word here, katapause. And I think that was for rest. I can't remember what word is that for, but it's a putting to rest, calming of the winds, a resting place. It's a place in God. I love that. How many of you want to be in a place of rest in the midst of everything, even in your own life, when things are just the way things are, and you are in that place of standing, you want to stay in that rest. So our rest, because God was talking about in Exodus, how they saw the works of the Lord and still didn't enter into his rest. So what is our rest? Okay. How can we take that and learn from what the Israelites went through and enter into our rest? So Exodus 33:14 says, and he said, my presence will go with you. And I, the Lord, will give you rest. God is going to give you rest. This is the rest that God is calling us to. Now, you may have heard this before, but the reason I believe that the Lord laid this in my heart, it's time to activate or reactivate that rest and not let the systems of the world get you into a frenzy. Go with you. When he says, go with you, this is the promised land. It's a place. But is a place that would be occupied with the presence of God. Hallelujah. Doesn't that make the difference? You can go into many places, and some of us have been into many religious or churches, and there's no God there. But when the presence of God there is like, I can have rest. I can have peace. I can have joy because I know he's here, and in him is everything I need. And this is what we're taking in this time. The promised land had resistance. So God is saying, I'm going with you to this promised land. I'm going to you to this place of rest, but there are enemies and giants against your rest. There are enemies and giants against your rest, but God gave them the victory. Rest is not adverse to trials and temptations and things of this world. Rest is a place despite trials and temptations and things of this world. Rest, let me see what I have here in my notes. Rest for us is the spiritual dwelling in Christ. That's our promised land. Christ is our promised land. He is our resting place. And rest is indicative of faith. I can tell when I'm in rest if I'm in turmoil or I'm in faith if I'm in turmoil. If I'm in turmoil on the inside, I'm not. Something is not right. I have to get to that place where, despite what I see, what I experience, there is rest for me. And when I get to that place, and when I can get my mind, my heart, my spirit into that place, then what I am going through seems a molehill, not a mountain. It is when faith is active, this is what I have in my notes, despite circumstances, you are experiencing righteousness, peace, and joy. So the kingdom of God is still manifesting, even though there's things going on around you. This is the end time strategy. It is where we are supposed to and how we are supposed to function. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Christ is the word. The word is critical. It is absolutely necessary to a lifestyle of rest. Hebrews 4 tells us the story of how rest or faith works. Hebrews 4:3. For we who have believed do enter that rest. We who have believed do enter that rest. As he has sworn, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Let's drop down to verse 10 in Hebrews chapter 4. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. So we see here that it is a place of faith, and it's a place of faith so much so that you cease from your own works. You are not trying to manipulate, conjure up, do, formulate, and come up with a way that you have conceived. That's the end game, the way that you have conceived, whether that is what you feel is good or right. I feel that this is good. I feel like this is right. Well, you may have a point. It may be right. It may be good, but it may not be God. And that's where the line is. That's where we have, that's going to be the deciding factor of whether you're in rest or not. Because if you have the question in your heart, is this God? Is this God? Is this God? It really makes it hard to get into that place of faith. So you have to get into that place where you're saying, God, I trust you. I follow you. And I'm going to rest in the fact that I know you have plans for me to do me good and not evil, to give me a hope in a future. That's in Jeremiah. Selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. You know, an ambition cannot, I'm not just talking about work or job related. I'm talking about one-upping other people. I'm talking about living a lifestyle of just, I've got to get mine. Oh, yeah, I believe the Lord is calling us to farm on the end times, and it's me, mine, and no one else. That's selfish ambition. You have to think God is a God of overflow. So he's going to provide for you, and then he's going to overflow it so you can help others. You're going to be kingdom advancing in this, in all that he is called you to, and all that he's placed in your heart. It's kingdom advancing. Worry, fear, manipulation, and control, all of those things are coming together to rob you of your faith and put you in a place of operating outside of his word. Even your ministry and purpose can get such a high place that you forget that he is the ministry, he is the purpose. So Hebrews 4, 11 through 12 says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrows, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." This scripture amazes me. I love this scripture because I read it and I'm like, we're talking about rest, and then we immediately go into how the word works. We talk about rest and we go into how the word works. The word becomes a discerner of those intents. So, am I operating worry? Am I operating in fear? Am I in self-doubt? Am I in selfish ambition? The word will discern it and it will correct and align you like a chiropractic adjustment. It will cause you to come into alignment and say, okay, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm pressing towards the mark which lies ahead. I am entering into that place of rest faith because it is ordained of me to do so. If you have a promised land, which we all do, we have that promised place in God, that promised purpose, that promised identity, that place of reaching that we're supposed to go. If you have that promised place in God, then you are going to have giants and things to overcome in your life. But do not fear, for the Lord your God is with you. And this is the strategy for the end time. As you believe and trust, what did God say to Joshua? In Joshua chapter 1, do not fear. He said that, be not afraid. Diligently look at this word, meditate day and night, and God was going to give him the victory. God was going to give him the rest. I want to read Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6, 16. It says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old path where the good way is. Walk in it. Then you will find what rest for your souls." The key to where we are in the end times is the ancient paths. Walk where the good way is. Walk in the ways of your fathers. Walk in the ways of those, your grandmother who was a praying grandmother. Walk in the ways of that encounter you had with the Lord when you were just worshiping it. Go back to your first love. Go back to the ancient days. Go back to the original ways. You know, technology has come along. We thank God for that. There are so many new ways and creative ways to do so many different things. Do you know, I used to have an online journal where I would put in everything the Lord said to me, and I felt like I was losing something. I had to go back and begin to do it the old way, which is paper and pen, and begin to write again. And it was like when my pen connected to that paper, there was an igniting there. There was a sealing in my spirit again. There was something that ignited to me. I went back to an ancient path. Jesus, Jesus. I went back to the ancient way. I decided that, okay, nothing wrong with the online journal, but you have to go back to the ancient path for yourself and begin to dream again and begin to hope again and begin to rest again in Him. And that is what God is calling us to in this end times. He's calling us to a place where the old way was. And maybe you have not gone this way before. The Lord told Joshua, he said, "You have not gone this way before. Put my presence ahead of you." What is he saying? Follow my presence because you have not gone this way before. And I will lead you into that promised land, and I will give you strategies on how to defeat every giant, every enemy, even five kings who come up against you. That's in Joshua. And say, "Oh no, they've got this land. They've got that. They've got too much momentum." And the Lord gave Joshua the next of those five kings. Listen, this is the key to victory. It is a simple word. It is something you have heard before, probably, if you're listening to this podcast. But I'm telling you, rest is the way. Rest is the way. It's operating in the kingdom of God in righteousness, peace, and joy. It is that place that you reside in the midst of this world. There is no other way. Hallelujah. He is the way. because I'm telling you that the word is the way, that Christ is the way, and that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You've got to get to that place of rest. It is going to catapult you. It's going to catapult you. So how do we rest? Matthew 11, 28, come to me. This is what Jesus said. Come to me, all who are labor and who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The issues of this world will heavy laden you. What you have to deal with in your personal life, what's happening around you in your job, your city, and your nation will heavy laden you. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. There's no rest like his. There's no place like him. One day in his courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. Come and I will give you rest. God, the Lord told me about a week or two ago, come sit with me. And I struggled. And it's because I'm such a doer. And we get into the religious system of doing, doing, doing. And it becomes an altar that is a false one that we build to the Lord, like calling it his. And God is saying, I never told you to do that. I don't want you to do right now. I want you to come and sit with me and sup with me. In the name of Jesus, we tear down the altar of doing. And I'm talking about doing out of a place, any other place outside of him. Let me say that. Any other place outside of Christ. Because if you're not doing in Christ, then it's nothing. It's frivolous. I don't care if it's mowing your backyard, do it in Christ. Because God may speak to you and say, okay, now go mow your neighbors. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Or he may say, go over to your fence and bless your neighbor's yard. They're having marital problems. Everything you do is in him. Come, sit with me. I'm calling you to come sit with me. I'm beckoning you to come sit with me. Eat the bread that I'm giving you, not the bread of the world. Eat, drink the drink I'm giving you, not the drink of the world. Be intoxicated with the love I'm pouring out, not the intoxication with the world. Give your time to me. And let go of worldly things. For in him is all things. He has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He has decided you were worth it. He has decided you were enough. He has decided that you are his child. And listen, it's simple. If you don't believe him and you are backslidden or you're not saved and you're listening to this podcast, say, come, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I receive you now. I want that rest. I want that peace. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, heavy in heart. I see hearts that are heavy, heavy with the cares and the issues of this world. I'm not saying that you don't have real life issues. I'm saying there's a place in God that you can lay them down. He says, cast my care upon him, for he cares for me. The cares and issue of this world, the cares of life, cast them upon him. Seek him first, and he will take care of all that. Let's go down to verse 29 in Matthew 11. It says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can we not believe that? You know, the enemy had me thinking that the yoke of the Lord was hard, even though I knew this scripture. In my heart, I was saying, this is so hard. This is so hard. This is, I have to change. I had to change what I thought about the yoke of the Lord because the enemy had told me a lie. He told me it was hard to live saved. He told me it was always a test and a trial. He told me I'm always going to be fighting demons. He told me I'm always going to be like, if this is the water, I'm barely above water. That's your life. And that's not true. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. In the midst of test of trial, he said, learn of me. This is what Jesus said, learn of me. You look at Jesus's life in the midst of what he went through, he always excelled. When he had no food, he was able to multiply bread. When the Sadducees and Pharisees were going to stone him, he was able to maneuver through the crowd. When there was a time when Herod was looking for him, he maneuvered out of the city. There was things that happened that Jesus was able to maneuver out of it until it was his time to die. And then he said, I will then give up my life. Yoke gives us a picture of oneness with God. We are bound in the oneness with God. Like if I'm yoked here and he's yoked, I'm bound in love together with God. That's the yoke. Bound in love with together with God. Jesus is gentle. In the Aramaic, it gives the indication of peace. He is the refreshing spring of life. Listen, you want to know how to make it in this end time? Store up food, own a ranch or a garden, own some land. All of those things are valid in their own way. But if you want to make it in this end times, you gotta enter into your promised land, that place of God's rescue. That's what I heard. It's the place of his rescue in him. Hallelujah. It is the strong tower of who he is. And you come into that place and reside and dwell. The Holy Spirit can come and descend upon you and remain. He can descend upon you and remain. You don't have to have ebbs and flows where you're up and down. Now, when you experience his presence for days and days on end and just be in the glory and goosebumps, probably not. But there's a knowing that he's there. And in the whisper of thank you, Lord, that peace radiates in you. Come, all who are heavy laden, Jesus will give you rest. Hallelujah. God bless you. Well, I'm Tisha. I'm so happy that you joined us here today. Do not take this word for granted. Do not take it as a light thing, as something you've heard before. Reevaluate, reiterate. And if you're new to Christ, enter into his rest. Read Hebrews 3 and 4. It's going to bless you. That is your end time strategy. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining Under the Fig Tree. See you again soon. Bye-bye.